Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Friday. I meant to do Feel Good Friday and Friday all in one breath. Feel Good Friday. Feel Good Football Friday. It is Friday, September the 17th, 2021. AJ, I appreciate you scribbling out the date and writing in the right date. That was good of you. Mm-hmm. Very well done.
Only on Dave's, not on mine.
It's not. Well, I don't think you're ever going to say the date, but it's Sturch. It's Gooch all the way over there. And, of course, on the other side, behind all the glass that we have in this studio, the fiberglass that we have, is AJ. Big Body Bascone is back in the house as well behind the boards. So, last night, we'll get right into it, folks. It was a doozy. I mean, look. Primetime football this week in general. Monday Night Football ended week one with a bang, right? Week two, we're kicking it off. Thursday Night Football, incredible. Incredible, incredible, incredible.
Yeah, Thursday night games usually suck.
Right.
And now we're 2-for-2 on Thursday night so far.
Yeah,
so.
2-for-2 Thursday nights. The New York Football Giants, unfortunately, have dropped to 0-2 on the season as they lose to the football team, which, again, that just looks so dumb. You know, like football team. Anyway, Washington football team. You like it?
I hope they
has it grown
that
on you?
I never had an issue with it to begin with.
I just never know grew like grew
yeah, up. Yeah, I just think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. What's the difference? That's what they are.
That's in the contention for like permanent.
I know. So. I think that they actually wanted to keep that, but they're running into issues because it's some soccer club that's in Washington.
Oh, little soccer. All right. That's fine. But the Washington football team beat the New York Giants 30-29 in a last second field goal. I mean, you can go right to the end of the game before we break it all down. That end, the one thing you can't do is jump off sides. Now, the way I saw that play develop is that I saw that you don't know. Based off the replay, you don't know if he actually got into the neutral zone. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one thing to kind of rock your body and, like, kind of show that you're on your way. But I'm not sure if he gets in the neutral zone. They call the flag anyway. He misses the first field goal, makes the second field goal, and the Washington football team is 1-1.
Well, he was clearly offsides. There's no question.
I mean, like I said, I saw like an overhead view.
100% offsides.
You saw a replay?
Yeah, it was plain as day, yeah. And then the entire sidelines on football team was pointing as soon as it happened. So, like, there wasn't even a moment where they were like,
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Right away.
Well, in any event, we first person to jump on the chat is, of course, the most positive Giants fan that we have in Shop Sports. That would be Big Bad Ben Wexler. Giants suck and lost to Washington. No names. Hate those losers. Oh, hate those losses? Well, you know what? You could probably hate those losers, too. The Giants are 0-2. Is there any kind of panic based off the way they played this game? My brother, who was watching the game as I was about to record my other podcast last night, was saying to me, you know, he goes, where is this defense that everybody was talking about when it came to Washington? You know, where's this front? Where is all this glamour that people have been talking about for the entire offseason? It looked like Daniel Jones was taking care of business for a little while. He was finding open receivers. He was playing decent football. And I don't know, man. The Washington football team defense did not look that good last night. And you gave up 29 points to the New York Giants.
Yeah, it wasn't I wouldn't say that they didn't look good. They played good in spots. Their coverage was terrible.
Right,
they
their corners are not
there
very
good. There was receivers that were wide open, and Danny Dimes' offensive line showed up. You got to give credit sometimes. Like, the Giants played well on offense. They are 100%. The unit, the offensive line, arguably one of the worst in football, if not the worst, and playing up against what we thought was. Talking about the game yesterday, I just thought that the Giants' O-line was so outmatched, but it turns out that they really weren't. Because I think Daniel Jones only got sacked 2 or 3 times, tops. And I know 3 sacks is a lot, but when you're talking about the Washington football team and the Giants, I expected, like, an onslaught.
Yeah.
An onslaught. So
he had some time. He was lacing him in there. I was telling my brother the same thing. As I was like, look, just so you know, like, Daniel Jones is very – he's doing reminiscent to what Tom Brady did last week against the Cowboys. Quick routes, quick releases. You can't sack a guy that's getting rid of the ball like that. You know what I mean? So that in line a favorable matchup for the New York Giants. But again, you know, I won't take anything away from the Washington football team. Taylor Heinicke making his another debut of sorts. I mean, I know he already had one, but like, this is his 2021 debut as a starter. The guy balled out, man. He really did. He lit up that scoreboard. And when I tell you that everybody, including myself, were on this Giants bandwagon in regards to their defense being improved, you know, Heinicke did work. You know what I mean? There wasn't much out of Gibson. There wasn't much out of There wasn't. They had J.D. McKissic catching the ball out of the backfield a little bit. So all you Gibson owners in fantasy football, I know you're probably pulling your hair out. My brother's willing to trade him tomorrow. So like, of course, I told in my head, I'm like, I'll take him. Are you kidding me? But it's rough in that regard.
I'll take him too.
Right, you'll take him twice.
I'm more concerned with his usage than him. I mean, every time he touched the ball yesterday, he got 6 yards. They didn't throw to him once. The only thing I'd say about Heinicke is that you want to see a young quarterback look for his reads, but I think a lot of times he's missing the check down. And this might be my fantasy football ownership talking here, but Gibson would chip on a block and he'd be wide open in the flat and they just wouldn't throw to him. But as soon as J.D. McKissic was in the game, he was getting fed that dump down. Third down, I understand you want to keep J.D. McKissic in on third downs and you want to keep him in the game in a two-minute drill. But after a timeout, the goal line carries got to go to my boy Antonio Gibson. That was the most disheartening thing of the game.
It was rough.
And at the end of the game, the football team almost blew it because they decide to throw the ball
right
in that setting, and the Giants pick it off. Like, the game is over right there. So the fact that the Giants even got a shot was kind of Ron Rivera's fault for not just pounding the rock.
You're talking about the final interception, right?
The only interception.
Well, really, I'll tell you right now that your number one cause for that. And look, I don't want to say I told you so. I don't want to get on this high horse of telling you that like he's your problem now. But Jason Garrett needs to call a better series. You have the ball literally in right there. Like, the field goal is there for you. Like, it's over. But that's the problem. When you play for the field goal, you play to lose. I'm sorry. That's not a winner's aggressive mentality. And us Cowboy fans, we know that was 10 years plus of that kind of football. And now the Giants fans are actually starting to feel it and see it. So that was a bad series. You know,
I think it was just a bad sequence by both teams that led to a wild finish. But the football team puts that game away. They hand the ball to Antonio Gibson on first down. He gets 10 yards. Second down, 3 yards. Guess what? It's working.
Right.
You know, 13 yards, 2 carries. He's averaging 6 for the game. Hand it to him 2 more times. Worst case scenario, you punt it away. I just don't understand the logic there and throwing the ball with an inexperienced quarterback. And it almost cost the guy his entire confidence going forward, because if you come away with a loss there, luckily they didn't for his sake, but if you come away with a loss there, you know, that puts a bad taste in your mouth all week, and I feel like teammates might start losing confidence in a guy in situations like that. So kudos for the football team for actually, I guess, holding the Giants to a field goal there, even though they gift wrapped the field goal.
Instead of bad play calling. You give the ball back to Heinicke with time left, and he got down the field. Can we talk about McLaurin not falling off? Like, oh my God!
Oh,
like,
God, falling off.
That I thought for sure, like, Heinicke coming in. Here's your top performers as we look at this. 11 grabs for 107 yards and a touch. Like, again, fantasy, sure, that's a great game. But, like, also, that's just a great game. Terry McLaurin is that dude.
I saw a stat yesterday. This was Terry McLaurin's 31st game played. 31 games played. Guess how many quarterbacks he's had?
10
quarterbacks.
10. It reminds me, like, that's Alex insane. Smith with offensive coordinators in his first 6 seasons. He had 6 different offensive coordinators, so the guy never got a shot. Terry McLaurin is the new age Allen Robinson.
The new age D-Hop, you know, where he has just absolute shitters at the quarterback position. But guess what? He can make the best of it.
Yeah, well, now D-Hop is okay. Well, like, he's better off now.
He had
Deshaun Watson. He had
Deshaun Watson, and then I think you're thinking
I'm talking about the years before Deshaun Watson.
All right.
So how many were there?
I believe there were six or seven.
Tyler Yates. It was like
Case Keenum. Once you got Deshaun Watson, that whole turned around for him.
Yeah, but I think Allen Robinson, if you look at him right now, the tide still hasn't turned. He's gone from Blake Bortles to what's the Bears quarterback? Mitch Trubisky to Nick Foles to now it's Andy Dalton. So this guy, and he's put up stud numbers through all the way through. So,
but I will give it. I will hand it to Daniel Jones. 22 of 32 for 249. He ran the ball pretty well.
Those goddamn wheels, bro. The hell did that come from?
He's quick. Listen,
he said it yesterday. He's a really fast white guy.
Yeah, he is probably the fastest white quarterback in the league.
Impressed me.
Yeah, no, he's real good. Listen, touchdown. He played as best as he could with the what he has around him. I know there was a couple times. Well, I mean, look, there's no way else to cut it. You got to catch that ball in the end zone, man.
I'm not going to say this.
You think it was an overthrow?
It was definitely an overthrow.
Oh, my God.
It was 100% an overthrow.
My golden rules, if it hits your hand, you got to catch it.
It didn't hit his hands. It hit his hand. right? His hand. And he now I'm just giving the receiver the benefit of the doubt because he didn't that was not a drop. I don't think that he should call that a drop in the stats. That was just a miss by both guys. Like should it could it have been caught? 100% it could have been caught.
Lay out for it, son.
Even if you know what I'm saying? Like that was bad. A little overthrown. He had 10 yards. There was no one within 10 yards. 20 yards of him.
Like a blown coverage completely. So
he could have just pat Mahomes this one and just threw up a punt, which is what he should have did. He definitely put a little too much on it. He had to turn on the Jets at the last second. The last 10 yards of that route, he really gunned it and then just got there. So that's a tough catch. Should have made the catch, but it shouldn't be called a drop either.
Yeah, well, first comment that came in says terrible drop.
So, I don't give a fuck who said it.
I mean, I'm just saying, like that. What in the stat sheet? I think it's going to go down as a drop. It's literally the back cover of the post in the Daily News today. It was the ball in his hand, whatever. In any event, they blew that one.
Something I want to bring up,
sure.
From last night. We were all a little impressed with Danny Jones, but you know who was not impressed? Kenny Golladay.
Is that Daniel Jones that he's yelling at, or is that the guy pumping up his helmet?
You see, it's Kenny looks Golladay.
Like to me. Honestly, I watched that on the sideline. And
our
I was
mics
like,
are muted while this is happening.
Cool.
Well, so, yeah, so that video right there is obvious. It's right in his face. I think I saw, not even kidding you, I think I saw Daniel Jones say in mouth, sorry. Like he's apologizing to Kenny Golladay. Kenny Golladay what looks like he's yelling at his coach, yeah, that's right, like, in front of him.
I
think it's directly at Daniel Dimes.
Am I the only
Dimes.
One that thought when I was watching this live, I was like, what did the guy that's pumping that helmet do to Kenny Golladay right now? That's kind of fucked up. Why is he in his face like that? All he's trying to do is help.
I think somebody just commented, did Danny Dimes say sorry? I'm pretty sure. Like, do you have it again, AJ?
Yeah,
play it again. Just watch Daniel Jones' mouth.
Let's do a deep dive real quick. Let me get it. There we go.
Make sure you edit this part out.
It's fine, but watch his mouth. Watch Daniel Jones. Ready? Sorry.
He definitely said sorry. No.
Look.
No, it looks like he just said something and then turned and kept saying something.
You see Kenny Golladay.
And it looks he's like, still pissed.
Oh, we're back. I don't think he says sorry. It looks like he says sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It looks like he says I'm sorry.
He might have said, motherfucker, you sorry.
I'm real sure Daniel Jones really nutted up.
By the way, there were several worse drops. I know that one was for a touchdown, but there was a couple other drops that were bad. I can't think of the one that I'm talking
How
about.
How do you, as a new member of the New York Giants, I'm sorry, that this is what bothers me about these receivers. When you come into a new scenario and a new situation, right, and a whole new scene, like, you can't do that. You know, look, there's 57 cameras.
Oh, stop.
There's 57 cameras. Listen, I get emotion. I tell you right now, if that was Dez Bryant, or that was Odell Beckham Jr., that shit would have been on Fox News all over the place. Fox Sports. Fox News. Fox Sports all over the place. Polarized. People would be going nuts.
It is all over the place this
morning. Well, I mean, I saw it once.
And who cares? That's just the media being the media. That shit is par for the course. That's football. That's fine.
I don't know if I'm yelling at my starting quarterback like that. I don't know. And you know, that was not in a motivating demeanor. It wasn't like, hey man, we're going to do this. And start clapping and shit and patting him on the shoulder, slapping his hand on the
once had an issue with players having dust ups on sidelines. Like I've always been on the side of the fence where you do not need to be friends, best friends to be winners. Like you just got to play well together, hold each other accountable. But look at the great Yankee teams back in the day. A lot of those guys didn't even like each other.
It's true, yeah.
You don't have to like each other to win. And it's not that they don't like each other. It's competitive. They're
true
out
or
there
false? True or false? A-Rod and Jeter liked each other.
True.
Okay, you think they were friends?
Yeah, I don't think Jeter really has any reason to dislike anybody because he's fucking cool.
All right, what else we got on this game? Because I know there's a lot of storylines. Here's the key storylines. Danny Jones, shows out. Yes, he played well. Now, here's the case that I'm going to make for Taylor Heinicke. The kid can move, but he reminds me, as a Cowboys fan, he reminds me of like a Ben DiNucci with a better arm. You know, he can move as a quarterback around the pocket. He probably has some wheels. We haven't really seen it out there yet. But I will say, I did put a post on.
It's kind of fucked up that you would compare Tyler Heinicke to Ben DiNucci.
I thought Ben DiNucci might have been the worst quarterback in the history of mankind.
It's simply not close. And to answer the question on there, or to just make a point, no, he is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's a clear two or three.
So now you're a Washington football team. You're 1-1. you're obviously sticking with them after a win, right?
Well, where are they going to go?
I don't know. You tell me. Like,
it's not like there's some guy out there just waiting to be started. It's not Cam. Stop. Don't even. If Cam was going to,
also the Bears have a decent guy that could start as well, and so do the Eagles, and so do, you know, there's a couple teams that have guys that are capable of starting in this league.
Flacco?
No, Gardner Minshew.
But they just traded for him. He's their backup.
No, I'm saying, you just said there's nobody out there. Like, there are people out there.
There's nobody out there that's going to, right now,
fit the mold to go to Washington. Probably not.
Fitz isn't having surgery. They're saying that he's going to be back by week 8 or week 9. Right. So what are you going to do? You really going to go make a trade when you got a guy that played like that yesterday? No way.
All right. Can I ask you this then? If Heinicke is the guy going forward, do the Washington football team have a shot to win this division?
Yeah. Because it's all about their defense, and it always was. Like,
yeah, but if it's all about their defense, they did not play well last night.
It's week 2.
Okay.
It's week 2.
How many weeks are we going to say that? Like, when is that stopping point?
You'll know when.
Okay.
You know, like, if it's like, okay, several weeks in a row, they're just not getting it done. And really, I don't think that they played all that bad against the Chargers in week 1, did they?
Besides the thirds down, they were excellent.
Yeah, I mean, they gave up like 15 third downs. But
fair enough.
It doesn't matter. I did say something in Chop Sports last night on the Facebook page. I did say, you know, I laughed at Joe Judge because of that offsides penalty, and a couple of the former coaches of the world came after me, and being the, you know, Lou Grasso, and they're like, how can you blame the coach? The guy jumped offsides. The only reason why I went that route is because Joe Judge is being touted as a special teams expert, and the one thing you teach your special teams from, like, Pop Warner, watch the football.
Yeah.
You know, watch the, this is dead. That's a discipline thing. And you don't just but jump.
It's, I wonder if he's just not teaching that. Is he, do you think he's like, guys, you know what? We're going to practice everything, but you guys don't have, on my team, you don't have to watch the football. Like, I'm sure he's coaching that. It's not like he's not.
And he's not coaching it well.
Well, I mean, well, when a guy goes offsides on any team, then is like the offensive line coach not doing his job because he's saying, like, or the D line, you know, if a wide receiver pushes off, is the wide receiver coach at fault? I don't think so.
No, I think that's not even comparable. I think that this is it's a discipline thing, and, you know,
just say what it is, Dave. You were trolling Joe Judge.
Maybe, just maybe. I don't troll. First of all,
Trolled yesterday. That's the definition of trolling.
What, by laughing at Joe Judge because of his special teams expertise?
But because you're highlighting the fact that because he's a special teams coach, that a guy going offsides. It's not like it was even a unique penalty, like running into the kicker, where you could only have on special teams. Like, everyone goes offsides. I'm pretty sure the left tackle and the right tackle both went offsides subsequently on, like, an important drive late in that game yesterday, right? Like,
what, false start, you mean?
Yeah. Chase Young looked back at the backfield, and he was like, dude, I got you guys shook. And it was true. At that point, the football team was getting in there.
All right.
But anyway, Joe Judge sucks, but not because that guy went offside.
All right. Well, I am not a troll by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not. I don't do
if
that.
If so, be so.
I'm just telling. Well, yesterday wasn't even a troll job. I want to address anybody that's watching on my Twitter, which I know there's a couple. Yesterday, all I wanted to do was point out the fact that there's certain players that shouldn't be on the field as much as they are. Jalen Smith was on the field for 16 plays. 15 of them I found, and I broke it down. I didn't break it down. I'm not Brian Baldinger. I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy, pal. You know, all I'm doing is putting out what it is in front of you. You watch the film. I'll show you what's happening. I will dictate what's happening. There's nothing, and everybody's like, oh, you're coming for this guy's head. You know, you're talking too much shit about one player. Go show Anthony Brown getting burned. Go show this guy getting burned. I'm not doing that, bro. I'm not trying to single out a player. I'm just trying to tell you guys that you guys should watch a little closer. You know, and you know what stemmed this? Jalen Smith called himself dominant yesterday, man. Dominant. And I watched way too much Jalen Smith film to even remotely, like, sniff dominance. And then oh my God. And the one thing, he compared himself to Jordan and LeBron and, like, Gretzky and, like, guys that are, like, legends of the game. Stop. Just stop talking, man. Just stop talking. Play the football game. He had a long interview yesterday, and it was great. It was like, I got to get better at my craft. I'll do what the coaches ask me, blah, 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 blah. Everything that you wanted to hear out of a guy. And that would have been it. It would have been perfect segue done. What he said was, at the end, I'm a dominant player. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but whatever. I'm going off of Jalen Smith. It is NFC East relevant, so we're still talking about the Giants. And
it is not relevant.
All right, it's not relevant at all. But anyway, the Washington football team are 1-1. The New York Giants are 0-2. So, It is now time to, should we throw it to break? I don't even know. What do you
think? No, I think we should just talk about the two little notes up top and then go into break.
Oh, two little notes up top. Okay, Hard Knocks. Oh, that's right. So they said they were going to announce this on Monday. They were talking about it. They said, watch out, during halftime, we're going to announce something about the Hard Knocks series, which I personally love, no matter if Dallas is on it or not. I've always liked it. I've liked it a little bit more in the back in the day where it was like more like, hey, let's watch a guy's like career get cut. You know what I mean? Like that was high. That was like must-see television. This season was very cookie cutter. Not a lot of storylines with the Dallas Cowboys. Sometimes as a fan, I'm saying like, that's actually good. You know, there's no bullshit. There's the only thing that people followed was the, you know, the Dak shoulder thing. And everybody was just worried about that. But other than that, nothing to watch, nothing to, you know, nothing to be concerned about. But Hard Knocks will be returning in November of this year as they come back and cover the Indianapolis Colts, in which they're talking about storyline-wise their run to the playoffs. So I don't know. I don't know if you could just predict that they're going to be in the hunt, or it's just going to be a bad season, or is the NFL fixed as a whole? I don't know, but that's the storyline. They're going to start in November.
I think that what they're doing is just like they're expecting them to be at least in the mix.
Because of the division?
Yeah, they're trying to pick a team that they think will be in the playoff hunt. I don't know what the criteria is for picking this version.
This is new, yeah.
I know that there used to be you couldn't be a playoff team, so now they're hunting for playoff teams. I hope that this means that they won't do the same fucking off-season shit still, and they'll just get rid of that.
No, that they're still they're continuing
Of course
that.
They will, obviously.
How they're do you not like more NFL content? I don't understand.
Because I didn't. This season was very disappointing.
This season. But I'm saying, like, you're telling me that, like, all right, for instance, last year, 2020, when we were, like, salivating for sports, right? Because there was nothing going
That's
on.
That's different. Right now, I'm not.
It's just too much.
Yeah, like, I don't have time to watch the Yankees half the time at this point.
Sad,
like,
isn't it? I haven't really sat down watching Yankees.
I don't have time to do anything, honestly. Now I'm getting sad, Dave. Thanks.
I'm sorry. Don't get sad. It's Feel Good Friday, bro. Feel Good Friday. All right, so, yeah, Hard Knocks coming back. They're going to cover the Indianapolis Colts. What is this now? Frank the Tank? What is he doing?
Frank the Tank Ntilikina is going to Dallas. Dallas Mavericks are the official home of disgruntled Knicks. Congratulations, Frank.
I never thought Frank was any good with offensively, at least. You know, defensive ball, you know he can play some D in the NBA, but I don't think for any split second that he was like a role player. But he's going to go join Porzingis and they're just going to hang out and just going to, you know, go to dinner in Texas. I don't know, whatever, who cares. But that definitely noteworthy because the NBA offseason is happening, so we can't avoid that. French Frank, good luck, buddy. That was Scoop. He's another Knicks fan. They got to get a Knicks podcast on here coming soon. Whoever wants to host that can do that.
If we could find somebody that has a New York Knicks podcast.
That's right. Sorry. Hard Knocks criteria, we do have now new criteria as to host a podcast on this network. One, you got to post an episode every week, and there's one guy that's on our network that decided, I'm not going to do that this week. So, yeah, we'll talk about him another time off the air. But there is a brand new show, a nice little segue there. Do You Remember That Guy? Is hosted by Jimmy Palumbo and Rick... Oh, boy. Rick.
Antonori.
So those two guys are going to get together and talk about the same stuff that we talk about when you go to a bar. If you're, you know, 8 or 9 beers deep, one day you're sitting there with your buddy and you're like, you know, oh, look, that's Randy Velarde over there, former Yankee player. Whatever happened to that guy? And that's their podcast. They're going to catch up on all these old names that you haven't heard in a long time, tell you what they're doing now, whether they're selling car insurance or committing felonies, whatever they're doing, they're going to cover that. So go check those guys out as we welcome them to the podcast network. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now. So now it's time. So now, before we get into our picks for week 2, we do have to mention that all three of us picked the Washington football team -3 yesterday. So that's a loss. But We do have records from last week. We finally compiled them. Here are the standings. Here are the standings against the spread for our picks last week. So take them for what they're worth. And listen, if you are going to bet on football, on any sport, you are encouraged to help yourself to a $1,000 risk-free bet right now. It was with BetMGM. Their link is in the Chop Sports page. You sign up, you deposit, you go. You cannot lose your first bet. So why don't you go out there and do your 15-team parlay? Do whatever you want to do to try to win some money. You can't lose that first one, and then you're off to the races. But according to the standings of last week, we are not the sauce. The sauce is the expert game. What do we call them? Handicapper. He's the expert here. But sitting in first place right now, all right. Well, whoever my 10-year-old daughter picked 8 correct. All right. Well, you know what? Did she? I'm sure she didn't use the spread, bro. I don't know who this is.
Or she did. That honestly, the point spreads allow for a 10-year-old to have a better chance than not, because a 10-year-old has no idea who's good and who's bad, so they pick whatever. The spread makes it 50-50.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, we use the spread, so no, that's a big deal.
I know, but what I'm trying to say is, like, if you have the point spread, you could literally throw a dart, and it should be, like, 50-50. But if you throw a dart on the Lions and the San Francisco 49ers, that's taking your odds and swinging them in the opposite direction.
Okay. So okay. Anyway.
The point spreads helps the people that don't know anything.
So technically, if you're looking at the standings, if you want a live update, Sturch and Big Body Bascon are both 7-10 because of the loss last night. And of course, Gooch sitting there at 5-11-1. So what we're also going to say publicly right now, if you want to win money, just bet against what Gooch says today on this show.
Yeah, I knew that Dave was going to start talking shit about being in first place because he's a fan of a team that plays in the NFC least. So he's used to having a first place record at 7-9.
Oh, me, on the other hand, burn.
5-10. And I know what I said yesterday. I was like, well, did you guys fill out your sheets and pick the... Like, I went into that completely live. And I was like, you know what?
So did I.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I asked you yesterday.
I'm going in today live. I don't have anything.
And I said yesterday, I'm going to go in tomorrow with some preparation. And guess what I didn't do?
You forgot your notebook.
I didn't forget my notebook. I did forget my notebook. Yes, that's true. But I didn't write down shit in my notebook about these picks. So it's irrelevant.
Here we go again.
So I didn't write in my notebook. So I'm going to go off the cuff again, shooting from the hip. But I can promise you all I have more than 5 wins this week.
Okay. Well, that's very bold.
And off the and off the rip, I'm already down 1. Right? So I'm already 0-1.
So you got 15 more to make up that little gap there.
So
hey, take off the scroll there for a second, AJ.
Oh,
the little ticket. This is why I put out the disclaimer.
What's that
when one? I'm about to make my picks.
Why?
To not go by what I'm saying. Like, I'm just basing this off of what I think. I'm not looking at any analytics. And if you're a real serious bettor and you're not looking at analytics, then you better just let the sauce do it and go fucking follow his page.
This is the best. Chris trying to justify getting smoked by explaining the theory of a 10-year-old's picking games. And he signs it Nick Shine. So Nick Shine is tuning in right now. His 10-year-old kid picked better than Gooch. But anyway, let's start it off. Last night, we all started off. We got to get off the schneid right here. We're starting with Chicago against the Cincinnati Bengals. I'll just start it off right here. I know that AJ prepped a storyline of sorts, but I don't know if you want to like bring that up and then bring up like the spread again. In any event, the story here is, can Burrow handle the Bears' pressure? And I think, going into this one, it's in Chicago, but I'm here to tell you, you can go, this is like, I'm going back to the spread. I think it was 2.5. Sorry. Here we go. 2.5. The over-under is 46. I'm going to sit there. The Bears are 2.5 favorites at home, which is justified. That makes sense. But I will say that Joe Burrow impressed me last week enough, and Andy Dalton didn't impress me enough, and I don't think the Bears win a game until Justin Fields is the quarterback. I know it's a little bold, and you know, me and AJ actually sat in the other office yesterday, and I listened to our picks from last week just to kind of tally them all up, and I'm just like, where the God Christ did I get some of these like takes, right? So here's my new take of the day. The Bears won't win a game with Dalton at quarterback. I like Andy Dalton. Don't get me wrong. He was my guy last year, got me all those 6 wins, five. And Dak had 1. But I will be taking the Cincinnati Bengals plus 2.5.
That's a bold prediction based on the fact that you haven't. Do you have the Bears schedule in front of you? They might have a Lions. They might have some shitty teams.
I'm sure they do.
So you're going to be looking at your...
I'll probably look at this next week and be like, I take that back. But anyway, I'll take it today that the Bengals will win this. Give me +2.5. Give me the Cincinnati Bengals. Gooch, what do you got? Off the cuff.
Chicago.
Taking Chicago. Any reasoning or just going with that?
Well, I think we should streamline a few of these.
Okay, fine. You know, fine,
so I'm just going to go Chicago. My reasoning is that I don't believe in Cincinnati's offensive line yet.
Okie dokie. Big body.
Big body's also going with the Chicago Bears -2.5. This is an Andy Dalton revenge game, and I love
betting. I was going to say that, too.
Yeah, it was last year, and when they already got the revenge out, and then he beat the Bengals with the Cowboys, so.
He'll get even more revenge this year.
Double the revenge.
It's like the sequel is here. Yeah, so that's what I got. Let's go to Houston versus Cleveland.
Do me a favor. As we're going, I know this is, you know what?
I got it this time.
You're writing them down? Perfecto. Yep. All right, here's a game we don't have to really talk about too much. Give me the... Whoa, actually, maybe not because of that spread. It's the Cleveland Browns hosting the Houston Texans. The Texans and Ty God coming off a win last week over the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Browns are favored by 12.5. I feel like that's a lot. I don't know, man. It's in Cleveland. They might run away with this. You know what? The Browns did work last week against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're one of the best in the world. The Texans are a bad football team who just beat another bad football team. Let's ride. I'm going to go with the Browns here. I'm going to go with the Browns -12.5. That's a lot. That's a big, big spread, but I'm going to go with it. Gooch, what do you got?
Skip. No, I really don't know. This is one of those where I fill out my football pool that I don't pick this one right away. I leave it, and I kind of go back to it. So I guess I don't really have that option here. I'll go with Cleveland because that's the initial gut feeling that I get. The Houston Texans, I thought, weren't going to win a game. I'm not going to start getting behind them because they showed well against the Jaguars.
The 12.5 spread kind of scares you.
I understand, but the 12.5 spread, that's two drives. They're going to be up 14, I feel like, right away. First quarter, 14-0. And then from there, it might even out a little bit. But I feel like that those two touchdowns are going to be they're spotted for a reason.
Okie dokie. And we go to the Ty God stand of the year, and that is Big Body Basketball. What do you got?
I don't even know if I'm allowed to do this, but I'm taking the under on this one, -47.5.
You could do that, sure.
I just believe that if you remember the game last year between the Cleveland and the Texans, it was horrible.
You absolutely have to pick a game.
Oh, he's definitely picking the game.
You got to pick the winner, too.
Oh, well, why the fuck is there an option to even pick the spread, then?
I don't put the option for us. I put the graphic there for info.
All right, well, I'm going to take the Browns as well. I mean,
all right, 12.5. So we all think Browns run away with this
one.
And
when you look at the point spread and you're picking a game, you don't look at the over-under just for...
I always look at the over-under. Yeah, just to look at it. I mean, sometimes it doesn't really play into my pick.
You can kind of see what they predict the score to be just by...
Correct.
The over-under and then subtract that number, and then you get a good feel for where they think it's going to go.
Yeah. All right. What do we got next? Ooh, this is a good one. The LA Rams going to Indianapolis. Indianapolis obviously coming off a, not that great of a showing, but the Rams look like they're flying high. They're actually 3.5-point favorites on the road in the dome in Indianapolis. I think the Rams are a real good team. They showed it the other night and in prime time in front of all their fans. I want to say that this game is no different. I want to say also that I think Carson Wentz will play a better game than he did. But if we watched, and we said this while we were doing the Sunday stream, every time you saw Carson Wentz, he was on the floor, right? That means he was getting hit, and now you got Aaron Donald coming in there. I just think he's going to get hit a lot again. And yeah. Give me the Rams -3.5.
I'm going to go with the Colts because I think these teams match up really well as far as the Colts' offensive line played like shit last week. But they got taken by surprise by the blitz, and I got that information from Kyle. This is not pulled out of the hip like usual. So Kyle was all big on how the how Seahawks blitz a lot. I don't think the Rams I don't think they have the same approach. Their front four gets a little bit more pressure. I think that's going to be almost a stalemate. The Rams will sit back in coverage. I don't know that the Colts will have much room to throw the ball, but I just see this as being a low-scoring game because the Colts' defense is a lot better than they showed last week. And, yeah, I don't know, home game.
All right, so you're riding with the Colts at home.
That half a point is what I'm riding with.
Okay. Really. What do you got, AJ?
I'm also riding with that half a point. I'm taking the Indianapolis Colts +3.5. If I really had to pick something, it'd be the under in this game. I think it's going to smack, but I think the Colts are going to, you know, get their bearings a little bit this week and keep it competitive. I think they lose by a field goal, and that's what I'll take, 3.5.
Okie dokie. What do we got next?
Buffalo, Miami.
Okay. Buffalo, Miami. This one's in Miami. Miami coming off a win over New England in New England. Buffalo coming off that showing versus the Steelers. Guys, this has like a possibility or a potential scenario where the Bills could start off 0-2 after being touted as probably, you know, one of the teams to be representing in the AFC championship game. And a lot of people even picked them to go to the Super Bowl. So this is a must have for the Buffalo Bills. I think division game on the road in Miami. The weather's nice. I'm not worried about any kind of weather factor or anything like that. You got to assume Josh Allen gets a little bit better in this game. I'll take the Bills on the road -3.5 here. I like the Dolphins. I like what they did against the Patriots, Mac Jones, all that good stuff. You know, they played a good game against them, but I think the Buffalo Bills got to get back to playing their kind of football, air it out a little bit. Those corners in Miami are really good. Don't get me wrong. Maybe you'll see a lot of underneath stuff to Singletary, but they got to move the ball. And I think Josh Allen's going to put this one on his back, and the Bills, there's no shot they start 0-2. Can't do it. So Bills all the way. Gooch.
I like Miami, man. It's hard for me to go against those corners right now, the way Josh Allen looked last week. Stephon Diggs is going to do his thing, but really, Emmanuel Sanders getting shadowed by, who's the guy that came from, Byron Jones?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So they have two guys on the outside that are really going to put the onus on Buffalo's run game, and they don't really have one. So I feel like this is going to be a low-scoring game. It's hard for me to lay points in what I think is going to be a low-scoring affair. If Buffalo wins, again, like AJ said last game, it'll be by a field goal. I'm playing that half a point again.
All right, so you'll take the Dolphins. Bass going, what you got?
I like the Dolphins to win this one straight up. I think that the Dolphins are a better team than a lot of people think. Tua is going to shine in this one. And the Buffalo Bills, prime regression candidate and prime upset candidate in this one. -3.5 on the road. I don't like that. Not a bit. I'll take the divisional underdog +3.5 at home.
All right, let's move it along. Another big one here. Another AFC. That looks like the AFC East are playing each other across the board in week two. As the New England Patriots off a loss with Mac Jones visit the New York football Jets in New York in Jet Life Stadium, the home opener. Zach Wilson coming off of what he did last week with a losing effort, but, you know, showed some promise, showed some poise. It's a cool matchup, Mac Jones versus Zach Wilson. You know, we're going to really enjoy all of these younger matchups as the year goes on and plays out, and these kids get even better and more experience. I'm going to say, you know, the Patriots are -6 on the road. Listen, 2 weeks in a row, I'm riding with you. I'm riding with the Jets. Let's go with the Jets here. +6 at home for their home opener. High energy, Zach Wilson, all gas, no brakes. Let's go, Jets. I'm all for it. Let's go. Gooch.
This is another tough one for me. Given 6 points, any team giving 6 points that has a rookie quarterback is kind of sketchy to me.
Correct.
On the road, no less. But the Jets did look like pure shit for 55 minutes last week. So I want to go with New England because I've picked like 4 underdogs in a row. So I'm just going to flip it up on this one. I don't really have much insight to it because it's a weird spread to me. I'm laying the points because it's so high. I feel like they're trying to get people to pick the Jets, so I'll go against that.
All right, Chop Sports correspondent on the scene will be there live, and that's AJ Bascone will be there for the home opener. What do you got for this one, AJ?
Rumor has it that Big Body is bringing big energy to the stadium on Sunday. I hear that the Jets are going to wipe the floor with the goddamn Patriots, and I'm taking the Jets +6.
Let's go.
May not win this one, but we're going to keep it damn close for sure. I love the Jets in this one, +6. The Sharps love them. So, and all the money's going on the Patriots, too. So
I'm with it. Let's go, Jets. Next, the San Francisco 49ers, minus their running back, will travel to Philadelphia. Philadelphia coming off the big win over Atlanta. Take that for what it's worth. Atlanta didn't look very well at all. The Eagles did play good on offense. Let's call it how we say it. And good on defense, or does Atlanta suck? We're going to find that out as the weeks go on. But San Fran coming in there with Elijah Mitchell. Elijah Mitchell. He's the new running back over there. They have a couple. They're going to try to get Brandon Ayuk involved, I guess. Maybe Deebo Samuel, Jimmy G. They got plans for Trey Lance to get in there and supplement. Listen, I saw that yesterday. I was watching it with AJ. Bart Scott, our guy, can't wait. Bart Scott said that he will shave his eyebrows off if the Eagles win this game. I'm all for that. I would love to see that, but I'm going to go. What was the spread of this one? I'm sorry. This was a 3-point spread. The Niners on the road. Give me the Niners, man. They're a complete team right now. They're going to show the Eagles are going to show their colors this week, I think. This is the Niners game to win. And personally, I don't think the Niners are supposed to lose this game. Like, it's just, I can't see it. So go ahead, Gooch.
I think these teams surprisingly match up fairly well. I'm not saying that the Niners aren't the better team on paper, but when you look at what Philly does well and you look at where San Francisco kind of was lacking last week, I think Philly has a chance to run the ball well against them. I think Hurts is going to see some open lanes, especially if he drops back. I know that the 49ers front four is supposed to be considered good, but their specialty is getting after the quarterback. Last week, Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift finished fourth and fifth in fantasy running back points total. So both running backs showed out. I like a potential Miles Sanders, Kenneth Gainwell, Jalen Hurts. I don't know that they're going to – and not to mention the 49ers corner is gone for the year.
Correct.
Torn ACL. So there's some problems on that side of the ball. I don't know that their defense is as good as people thought going into the season. And now with the injury that took place, it's even worse. The home team getting points. I feel like there's like five home teams getting points this week.
Yeah, there's a couple of those.
So I'm having a hard time taking – San Fran, so I'm going to go with Philly because that's my initial gut feeling.
All right, the Eagles going with Gooch. And, of course, Bascon, what you got, bro?
Some will call me a psycho, but I'm going with the Philadelphia Eagles. I looked real good last week. And for some reason, when the Eagles and the 49ers play, they always have a really good game. It's never just like, oh, yeah, Niners, amazing team. Eagles, bad team. Niners, roll them over. It's always a very good game. I think there's potential upset here, so I'm going to go ahead and take the Eagles. It's nuts, but I'm loving these home dogs this week.
All right, what's next? Another big one here. The Pittsburgh Steelers, off their big, big win against the Buffalo Bills, will be taking on the Las Vegas Raiders, also off a massive win on a Monday Night Football in their home opener. The Raiders now have to travel across the country to play the Pittsburgh Steelers, who, again, I just said, they had a really good game. The spread, however, is the one thing that intrigues me a little bit. I'm a little bit more of a believer on the Raiders' ability to keep it close. So that's why I'm going to take the Las Vegas Raiders here plus the 5.5. I think this is going to be a little bit closer than what people think. I know the Steelers played well on defense, but I got a feeling that Waller is going to do what Waller does, and there's going to be a couple big splash plays down the line for this Raiders team. I don't say they win outright. I say probably the Steelers might win this game, but give me the Raiders with the points here plus 5.5 in Pittsburgh.
Gucci. I feel like this one could get ugly for Vegas. Really?
Okay.
I guess coming off of that big win Monday night.
Think they're riding too high?
I wouldn't say that they're riding too high, but I think maybe the point spread is reflecting that, what the public saw on Monday night. It's a short week. I know that really doesn't have too much of an issue, but it is a shorter week for the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh coming off of a big win on the road. Pittsburgh was on the road week one. Now they get to come home and celebrate the win. And I just don't see the Raiders as being as good of a team as they showed out last week. They had that home field advantage where they were opening up the new stadium. Things will come back down to earth for the Raiders, and Pittsburgh's defense is really fucking good.
Yeah.
They showed that last week against Buffalo. The Raiders' offense has nothing has nothing on Buffalo's offense. So Pittsburgh all the way in this one. I think they might roll.
All right.
I'm taking Pittsburgh with the points, minus 5.5. Now, I was a guy who didn't believe much in Pittsburgh going into the season, but I'll tell you what, to be able to win a road game against the Buffalo Bills, a really tough team, that shows a lot to me. And knowing Big Ben's home and away splits, if that's the game he had away, let's just think about what he could do at home against a really weak Raiders defense. I think that the Raiders played up to the potential of the situation last week, but that's just about it. On the road, it's going to be a tough game.
AJ, for them. How many picks do we have that are the exact same?
I was going to say, you must have really done your research, because all of my picks, I always use the money put on teams, the sharps, like everything. Everything I possibly could in terms of analytics. And that's why you are nailing it right now. Okay.
Week two, I'm going to have like a 9-game lead.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll take it. All right. So if New Orleans Saints are going on the road for the first time this year against the Carolina Panthers, who are coming off an impressive week one win at Carolina. So Carolina stays home 2 weeks in a row to start the season. That bodes well for them. The Saints are favored in this one, -3.5. Now, is everybody going to jump all over this Saints train based off of what they did to Green Bay in week one? I'm not. Not on the road. This is my first home dog I'm taking in this game. I think Sam Darnold showed just enough. I think McCaffrey's going to be a problem. You saw what in case of emergency, throw to McCaffrey. That's what it's going to be. I'm not sure if the Saints can contain that all game long, and then they're going to stretch it over the top. They lose Lattimore this week because of the thumb injury or the hand or whatever the hell he had. Give me the Panthers +3.5 at home. Keep pounding, Panthers. Let's do it.
Gooch. I like the Saints here. They beat the shit out of my team, and I got to
watch
that.
You need the Saints to win.
I don't really need the Saints to win. I actually would like the Saints to lose, because I don't really care about the strength of wins. I want
to... No. I'm not even talking about that. Just to make yourself feel better. Like, oh, these guys are actually pretty good.
No, I don't care about whether they win or lose. I watched that game. I feel like the Saints are a good team. They're going to be there when it counts. Later on in the season, they'll be playing important football games, unless catastrophic things happen to that offense. But their defense is a lot better than advertised, and Carolina isn't getting the Jets. So look at the last couple minutes of that game. Really, Carolina struggled to move the ball all game. They only scored, 16 points in that game?
Yep. 19,
but they're 16 pretty much the entire game. Now, Sam Darnold, you guys are believers in Sam Darnold?
I'm not saying I'm a believer. I think he could just get it done.
I think Sam Darnold had a nice little game last week, but the Saints defense showed me a lot in week one. I watched them firsthand. Like I said, the Saints are a better team than we thought. I'm not a believer in Carolina just yet, and it's the Saints for me.
All right.
This is the only one I'm riding with the public on that I've seen so far. I'm riding with the Saints. -3.5. Jameis Winston and the boys should roll in Carolina. All I know is that little Christian McCaffrey shit you saw last week, where he basically just, would go 5 yards a little upfield, and he would just, Sam Darnold would dink and dunk it to him. DeMario Davis will shut that shit down in 3 seconds. I promise you, Saints are going to roll this week.
Okie dokie. Saints go to 2-0. All right. So a game we can kind of breeze over. Broncos -6. The Jaguars are getting home for the first time. That's the storyline there, I think. The Jaguars getting home for the first time. Broncos on the road after being on the road in New York last week. They took care of business there. I think they take care of business again. I'll take the Broncos here. I didn't see the spread. Sorry.
It's 6.
Okay, 6. So Broncos on the road. You know what? I'm going to go the other way.
You crazy, man.
Yeah. I predicted those guys to get 6 wins at some point of the year. This is their first. They'll get it. They'll get this one. They're home dogs. Give me the Jaguars. I'm taking Urban Meyer and company. Go ahead, Gooch.
This team is cursed because they have Urban Meyer. Simple as that. There's no way Jacksonville does shit in this game. I don't think Jacksonville's defense is good enough to stop the Broncos rushing attack, and I don't think Jacksonville's offense is going to be able to do a goddamn thing against that front. That's why I don't think it really, all up front, Jacksonville doesn't have any answers for what Denver brings to the table, so it's Denver for me in an easy win.
All right, Basco.
Jacksonville played like shit last
for
week.
Me, whatever BetMGM has is the highest available alternate line I will be taking. The Broncos are going to murder this team. The Jaguars are pathetic.
Okie dokie. Shout out to the Jaguars. But anyway, Arizona Cardinals, -3.5 at home against the Minnesota Vikings. This one's an easy one for me. Give me the Cardinals all day. I don't think Minnesota's very good. I got them as some of the bottom feeders of the league when it's all said and done. I think the Vikings are going to struggle. I think what we saw out of Kyler Murray and company in week one continues. I think that defense actually continues to play well. Give me Arizona all day, 3.5.
We finally agree on one.
Hey.
Right? I'm going to go with Arizona. I know Minnesota has a bad taste in their mouth from last week, but they're running into a far better team, I think, especially early in the season. Kyler Murray played really well the first 6 weeks. When it's nice out, Kyler Murray plays well. It's their home game. Minnesota's defense is, I think, middle of the pack at best. They don't really do anything exceptionally well. Their highest paid defender, I think, is like 48 years old with Harrison Smith. So, yeah, Arizona in a, I wouldn't say a rout, but I think Arizona handles this one.
All right, Bass, go.
Well, the over in this game is going to slap first off. But besides that, Arizona Cardinals, I'm taking them. We all got one together finally. I'm taking the Cardinals -3.5 because Kyler Murray is on a reign of terror. He is going to mollywop Minnesota in this game.
It only took to the last 1 o'clock game for us to agree.
No. I was forced into taking the Browns, so we did agree on that earlier. Yeah. All right. But let's head over to Tampa Bay, where, I mean, I'll just let you guys take it.
I mean, this has, you know, I think the Falcons are a very bad football team, and I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a really good football team. So, if so, facto, I'm going with Tampa Bay to win this game by like 14 or more. Even if the spread was 14, I think I would have probably took the Tampa Bay Bucks. Bucks are going to roll. They're back home. You know, on the scene of the crime last week, they go 2-0 to start the season, and the Falcons just look like poo-poo. So, go ahead, Gooch.
I think the 12 points is too high because their secondary is really banged up in Tampa. And if there's one thing Atlanta does well, it's play from behind and score points.
So That's all they do.
I think that there's a chance of a backdoor cover, being that it's such a high point spread. If they have the game in hand and it's a 21-point lead, right, there's easy for them to score 10 points in the fourth quarter where Tampa's not playing anymore.
Where the gas is off the foot is off the gas.
I like a backdoor cover out of Atlanta because they're going to be flicking it around in the second half to Kyle Pitts, and they want to get Ridley involved because of all the buzz going around. His first game without Julio was a dud. So I like them to throw the ball a lot in this one, and they're going to be playing from behind, I think, so they have no choice but to throw it. You know, are they going to be able to – I think Tampa would need to score about 48 points in this game for them to cover because Atlanta's going to score some points.
They might just very well do that, yeah, to be honest with you. So, Vascon, what you got?
I'm taking the Bucs here. If you can't score more than 6 points against the Philadelphia Eagles at home, I don't want any part of you in Tampa Bay. That Buccaneers defense, although it looked a little weak last week, that was against a very, very elite offense. I just do not like them against Atlanta this week. I didn't even write a real storyline for this game because the Bucs are going to shit pump the Falcons.
Shit pump the Falcons. I don't know why, but I just finally looked down at it. Like, I don't know why. I was like blurred vision and I didn't look at that, but that headline is amazing. But anyway, let's go. All right, game of the week. What do we got? It is the Dallas Cowboys taking their business and taking their talents over to Los Angeles for the Chargers to open up that new stadium of theirs, in front of fans at least, for the first time. The Dallas Cowboys starting on the road for the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. The Cowboys are +3 in this one. I'll say the Chargers are -3. They are the home favorites, as they should be. A lot of things have happened in Dallas this week. It's very, very upsetting and very defeating that they lost Gregory. They lost DeMarcus Lawrence. They lost Michael Gallup. They lost their possible safety. He might be out too. It's a recipe for disaster, but it would be against my my ill will. I'm like the Michael Irvin of this show. Give me the Cowboys +3. I mean, what the hell? I mean, they might never know. You know, they lose the field goal. What the hell? You know, but I think they put up some points. The Chargers might put up a little more, but we'll see. I'm going to go with the Cowboys, though. Why the hell not? Gooch.
Chargers.
It's going to be a big, high-scoring affair out there on Sunday. For the reasons that you mentioned, I'm a little concerned that the point spread's only 3 for the home opener for the Chargers because they are without pretty much their entire defensive front. That's worth mentioning.
And offensive front. I forgot Lyle Collins is suspended.
Yeah.
Right tackle.
You know, I'm talking about Dallas is not going to have any problems scoring the football, I don't think, whether Lyle Collins plays or doesn't play, right? So, but I do think that there's going to be a major issue stopping anything that the Chargers do on offense. Specifically, I think Eckler gets majorly involved this week. And because I think it's going to be such a high-scoring affair, I feel like 3 points is almost 1 point. You know, and because of the major injuries, Dave's probably looking at me like, I know it's coming, and he's right. I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think Herbert's going to show out as well. That's going to be a shootout, though, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Dallas pull us off and win outright. But because of the home game, because of the defensive issues, I think Chargers are a little bit more of a complete team, while Dallas has a way better offense, I just think the whole sum of all parts is going to be an issue. Dallas is going to have a tough time stopping people.
Got you. Best going.
I've had this game circled since last week. I knew that when the Dallas Cowboys had such a great game against the Buccaneers that they would almost be overvalued. That's not exactly what I think going into this game. Not the proper valuation, I think. But I do like the Chargers at home to get the victory in this one. The line has moved from 1.5 to 3.5 in just a day already. Meanwhile, almost nearly all the bets are going on the Cowboys, but all the money is coming in on those Chargers. I'm going to take the Chargers in this one.
All right.
What do you get?
No, you did the same thing last week, and like, I wasn't here for it. I wasn't here for your picks last week, and I was just, you know. I heard him on the air when I was away. All right, what do we got next? Tennessee at Seattle, 5.5. Tennessee, they got something to prove this week, ladies and gentlemen. I think if Tennessee is going to be the team to run with the Colts this year as the top dogs in the AFC South, I think that they have to do it this week. However, what I saw out of Russell Wilson and that offense, I'm going to ride with the Seahawks at home here, -5.5. Give me the Hawks.
Gooch. Yeah, I got Seattle. There's going to be 190 points scored in this game. Neither team is going to stop each other, but because of Russell Wilson and Tannehill, I'm going to go with Russ. Yeah. That's it. It's the quarterback. Both defenses suck. Both offenses are really good. They're loaded at receiver. They got good running backs, but it's the Russell Wilson effect for me.
The bookmakers are begging us to take take Tennessee Titans at +5.5. In fact, I just checked the line on BetMGM. It has moved even further to 6.5. I'm taking the Seattle Seahawks by a touchdown. That team is far too dominating on the offensive end, and what we saw from Tennessee last week was rather concerning. So
let the record show that we are making these picks based off of the spreads that were yesterday. So whatever BetMGM does from yesterday on, that's not to do with our picks, but we encourage you to go to BetMGM to make all your picks. The promo is in our Facebook page. It is on our website. Click on Jamie Foxx's face. Sign up. You get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Do that for us and do that for yourself. All right, we're moving into the game of the week. Sunday Night Football will obviously save Monday night for the Monday show. The Kansas City Chiefs on the road in Baltimore. Favored on the road in Baltimore, 3.5. Another home dog. The Ravens obviously had their struggles against the Las Vegas Raiders. And, of course, the Chiefs, they didn't really run away with it at home against the Cleveland Browns. So both of these teams are coming in kind of, you know, they're not reeling. Obviously, the Chiefs got a win, and that, you know, can't say the same about the Ravens. But I will say this. I'm not sure if there was a time. I don't know the records head-to-head against each other with Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. But in this case, with the Chiefs being favored on the road here, I'm still going to ride with the Chiefs. I have to. I picked them to go 20-0 this year, so it would only make sense for them to win and win in a convincing fashion. The Ravens might be in a little trouble if they go to 0-2, so we'll see. Gooch?
Yeah, it's a shitty draw coming off a tough home, tough loss in the opener for the Ravens, because you would imagine that they would go 1-1 in this, but now they're going to probably start the season 0-2, and I don't think it gets much easier for them after this either.
No, and that's why they got to have this one. But
yeah, they haven't played in their division yet, and they're about to start the season with two losses. So me having the Ravens as the potential 14-3 is not looking really that great to me at this point. So Kansas City's not losing that game. The corner being out for the Ravens, they didn't have much time to adjust to it last week. It's not going to matter this week because whoever they have isn't going to be able to cover that with what Kansas City's got going on.
Got you. Best go home. Take us home.
Anytime you could bet Patrick Mahomes with this low of a line, I'm taking it every single time. The Ravens love to blitz, and against bad quarterbacks, it usually works well for them. But with Patrick Mahomes, with the awareness that he has, with the line he has, I think he's going to be able to exploit that big time this week. Ravens, I also had them 14-3. I had big hopes for them, but this is a tough start to the season. 0-2 for the Ravens. Kansas City Chiefs, -3.5.
All right. Well, that wraps up our Sunday picks. That is the Sunday slate. Guys, be sure that if you are, there's a new structure on Sunday. So we're not going to sit here and you're not going to stare at us for 6.5 hours straight like the last Sunday. And some of you did. Some of you periodically checked in and out. That's fine. We encourage it. There is a new format where we'll be joining you in the pregame from about 12 o'clock to about 12:40-ish, 12:45. We'll go watch some football. We'll rejoin you for halftime. There's a whole structure to it. So we hope to see all of you guys on Sunday. We know we're kicking the show off. Basketball. Gascon won't be here, so it'll be me and Gooch and Kyle in the beginning, and I believe Scoop Espo's coming through, and then I'm going to go do my thing with the familia and leave and watch the Cowboys game, and then our boys over here will take it home. So with that being said, we want to thank you guys for joining us here on the Chop Sports Podcast, and of course, enjoy your weekend. Be safe, be responsible, do all that stuff, have some fun. Go Rutgers. We're trying to go 3-0 here, so we didn't touch anything on college football, but we will recap the college football weekend with Jimmy Palumbo, who joins the show on Monday. So take care, everybody, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Go Pack Go.
That's Monday.
Go Pack Go, baby.